Osho, a bird on the wing, talks on Zen. Discourse number 6, given at the Osho Commune International, Pune, India.
Once Bhante was talking quietly to his disciples one day, and he was interrupted by a priest from another sect. This sect believed in the power of miracles and that attainment could be got through repeating a holy name. Bhante stopped his talking and asked the priest what he wanted to say. And the priest said, "The founder of my sect can do miracles. He can stand on the bank of a river with a brush in his hand, and he can paint the name, the holy name, on a piece of paper held by an assistant on the other bank of the river. What miracles can you do?" And Bhante said, "Only one. When I'm hungry, I eat. When I'm thirsty, I drink."
The only miracle, the impossible miracle, is to be just ordinary. The longing of the mind is to be extraordinary. The ego thirsts and hungers for recognition. The ego feeds on recognition that you are somebody. Somebody achieves that dream through wealth. Somebody else achieves that dream through power, politics. Somebody else can achieve that dream through miracles, jugglery. But the dream remains the same. I cannot tolerate myself being nobody. And this is the miracle. When you accept your nobodiness, when you are just ordinary as anybody else, when you don't ask for any recognition, when you can exist as if you are not existing, to be absent is the miracle. This story is beautiful. One of the most beautiful Zen anecdotes. And Bhante is one of the super masters. But Bhante was really an ordinary man. Once it happened that Bhante was working in his garden, somebody came, a seeker, a man in search of a master. So he asked Bhante, "Gardener, where is the master?" Bhante laughed and he said, "Wait. You come from that door, inside you will find the master." So the man came roundabout and he reached in, he saw Bhante sitting on the throne, the same man who was the gardener outside. The man said, "Are you kidding? Get down from this throne. This is sacrilegious. You don't pay any respect to the master." Bhante got down, sat on the ground and said, "Now, then it is difficult. Then you will not find the master here. because I am the master. It was difficult for that man to see that a great master can work in the garden, can be just ordinary. He left. He couldn't believe that this man is the master. He missed. We are all in search of the extraordinary. But why you are in search of the extraordinary? Because you also long to be extraordinary. With an ordinary master, how you can become extraordinary, exceptional? Bhakti was talking, lecturing, and one man stood and asked. He belonged to some another sect, a sect who worked through mantras, holy name. Remember that a mantra is a secret technique to achieve more power. Mantra is not spiritual, it is political. But the politics is of the inner space, not of the outer. The mind can become powerful if you narrow it down. Narrowing is the method. The more narrowed a mind, the more powerful it becomes. It is just like rays falling on the ground. If you focus those rays through a lens, fire can be created. Those rays were falling all spread. Now they have been narrowed down through the lens. They have become one-pointed, concentrated. Now fire is possible. Mind is energy. In fact, the same energy that comes through the sun. The same subtle rays. Ask the physicists, they say mind has a voltage of electricity. It is electrical. If you can focus the mind through a lens, and a mantra is a lens, you go on repeating Ram, 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 or Om, 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 or anything. One word. Go on repeating and repeating and repeating. The whole mind energy is centered in that one word. It becomes a lens. Now all the rays are passing through that lens, narrowed to one point. It becomes powerful. You can do miracles. Just by thinking you can do miracles. But remember, those miracles are not spiritual. Power is never spiritual. Powerlessness, helplessness, to be nothing, is spiritual. Power is never spiritual. This is the difference between magic and religion. Magic is after power. Religion is after nothingness. Mantra is a part of magic, not of religion at all. But everything has got messed, mixed up. People who are doing miracles are magicians, not spiritual in any way. Even anti-spiritual. Because they are spreading magic in the name of religion, which is very dangerous. Through mantra, mind is narrowed. More narrowed, more powerful. Then anything can be done. Only one thing you will miss. You will miss yourself. All miracles will be possible. The ultimate miracle you will miss yourself. Because through narrowing down, you can achieve an object. More mind is narrowed, more it becomes fixed to an object. It becomes objective. And you are hidden behind, an object is outside. So if you are a man of mantra, you can say to this tree, die, and the tree will die. You can say to a man, be healthy, and the disease will disappear. Or be unhealthy, and the disease will enter. Many things you can do, and you can become somebody. And people will recognize you as a man of power, but never a man of God. A man of God is born when the mind is not narrowed at all. When the mind is not flowing in one direction, but is overflowing in all directions. There is no lens, no mantra. Just the energy flowing in all dimensions, everywhere. That flowing energy, overflowing energy everywhere, will make you alert about yourself, because then there is no object, only you, only subjectivity exists. And through you, you will become aware of God, not through any power. This man who asked Bankei that what type of miracles you can do, my master, through mantra, through the holy name, could do miracles. He will stand on one bank of the river. Disciples will stand on the other bank with a paper in their hand, a half mile distance, and he will write from here. And the words will come on the paper on the other bank. This our master could do, what you can do. And Bankei said, only one miracle we know here. And that is, when I feel hungry, I eat. And when I feel sleepy, I sleep. Only this much. Nothing of a miracle. Your mind will say, what type of miracle is this? Nothing to be proud of. But I say to you, Bankei has said the real thing. That's what a Buddha can do. That's what a Mahavir is doing. That's what a Jesus is to do. Only then he is a Christ, otherwise not. But what he is saying in such a simple thing, he says, when I feel hungry, I eat. Is it so difficult, so that he calls it a miracle? I say it is difficult for you. For the mind, this is the most difficult thing, not to interfere. When you feel hungry, the mind says no. This is a religious day and I am on fast. When you don't feel hungry, the mind says eat. Because this is the time every day you eat. When the stomach is overfilled, the mind goes on saying, go on eating. The food is delicious. Your mind interferes. What Bankei is saying, he is saying, my mind has stopped interfering. When I feel hungry, I eat. When I don't feel hungry, I don't eat. Eating has become a spontaneous thing. The mind is not a continuous interference. When I feel sleepy, I go to sleep. No, you are not doing this. you go to sleep as a ritual, not when you feel asleep. You get up as a ritual because it is Brahma Muhurt and you are a Hindu and you must get up before sunrise. Because you are a Hindu, you get up. Who is this Hindu? The mind. You cannot be a Hindu, you cannot be a Mohammedan. No sect is there for you but the mind. Mind says you are a Hindu, you must get up. So you get up. Then the mind says, now it is time to go to sleep, so you go to sleep. You follow the mind, not the nature. Bhakti is saying, I fellow with nature. Whatsoever my whole being feels, I do. There is no fragmentary mind manipulating it. Manipulation is the problem. You go on manipulating. And this disturbance, interference, manipulation from the mind is the problem. Even in dreams, you go on manipulating. Ask the psychologists. They say, while awake, you continue manipulating. The mind doesn't allow you to see what is there. It projects. The mind doesn't allow to hear what is being said to you. It interprets. Even in dream, you are false because the mind goes on playing tricks with you. Freud discovered that our dreams are also false. You want to kill your father. In the dream, you don't kill your father, you kill somebody who looks like your father. You want to poison your wife, but you don't poison your wife, even in a dream. You poison some woman who resembles somehow with your wife. The mind is interfering continuously. I have heard one man was saying to another, his friend, that did I dream last night? What a dream. I went to Coney Island. Such delicious ice cream. Such a tasteful dinner. I have never eaten such a thing in my whole life. The other man said, you are kidding, you call this a wonderful dream? Last night I dreamt. On one side, Elizabeth Taylor, another side, Marilyn Monroe, both in nude. The other became excited. He said, then why didn't you call me? The man said, I called you, but your wife said you have already left for Coney Island. Even in dream, the mind goes on creating the world, Coney Islands, Elizabeth Taylors, and you become jealous even and about another's dream. Why didn't you call me? Bhakti is saying, we know only one miracle. We allow nature to have its own course. We don't interfere. Through interference comes the ego. The more you interfere, the more you manipulate, the more you feel you are somebody. That's why I look at the ascetics. Their ego is so refined and subtle, so shining. Why? because they have interfered the most. You have not interfered so much. They have killed their sex. They have destroyed their love. They have repressed their anger. They have completely destroyed their hunger and the feeling of the body. They have reason to be egoists. They are somebody. Look in their eyes, nothing except ego. Their body may be almost dead, but their ego is at the supreme most peak. It has become an Everest. These monks and saints will not be able to understand what Bhakti means. He says, we know only one miracle, to allow nature to have its own course. We don't interfere. If you don't interfere, you will disappear. Fighting is the way to be there. People come to ask me and they ask how to drop the ego. And I tell them, who will drop it? And if you try to drop it, you will be the ego. And someday you will claim that I have dropped the ego. And who is this claimer? Who is claiming? This is the ego. And the most subtle ego always tries to pretend egolessness. I also know only one miracle, to have nature its course. Allow it whatsoever is happening. Don't interfere. Don't come in the way. Suddenly you will disappear. You cannot be there without resistance, fight, aggression, violence. Ego exists through resistance. This has to be understood very deeply. The more you fight, the more you will be there. Why soldiers feel so happy fighting? Fight is not such a beautiful thing. War is just ugly. But why soldiers feel so happy fighting? If you have once been to a war, you will never be happy again in peace. Because the ego comes to such a peak fighting. Why in competition you feel so happy? Because competing, your ego arises. Fighting, you become stronger. But fighting with another is never so ego-fulfilling. Because you may be defeated, the possibility is there. But fighting with yourself, you cannot be defeated. You are always going to be the winner. There is nobody else except you. Fighting with another, there is fear. The fear of being a failure. Fighting with yourself, there is no fear. You are alone. You are going to win. Today or tomorrow. But finally you will win because there is nobody else. The ascetic is fighting with himself. The soldier is fighting with others. The businessman fighting with others. The monk fighting with himself. The monk and the ascetic are more cunning. They have chosen a path where victory is inevitable. You are not so calculating. Your path is hazardous. You may be a success, you may be a failure. And your success can turn into a failure any moment because there are so many fighters around you. And you are such a small, tiny existence, you can be destroyed. But fighting with yourself, you are alone. There is no competitor. So those who are very cunning, they escape from the world and start fighting with themselves. Those who are not so cunning are more simple. They are in the world and go on fighting with others. But the basic essential thing remains the same, fight. Bankei is saying, I am not a fighter. I don't fight at all. When I feel hungry, I eat. When I feel sleepy, I go to sleep. When I am alive, I am alive, and when I will die, I will die. I don't come in the way. And he says, this is the only miracle we know. But why call it a miracle? Animals are doing it already. Trees are doing it already. Birds are doing it already. The whole existence is doing it already. Why call it a miracle? Man cannot do it. The whole existence is a miracle, except man. The Christian story seems to be very meaningful, that man has been turned out of the Garden of Eden. Seems to be very relevant, most significant. The whole existence is a continuous miracle. It is a continuum. Miracles are happening every moment. Existence is miraculous, but man has been turned out. Why man has been turned out? The story says, because he has eaten the fruit of the tree of knowledge. And God prohibited. He said, don't eat the fruit of this tree, the tree of knowledge. All the trees are open for you, except this one. But the devil persuaded. Of course, he persuaded Eve first. Devil always enters through the woman. Why? Because woman is the weakest point of man. The weakest link from where the devil can enter. Directly to enter man is difficult, because he will give a good fight. It will be difficult. But through woman, the devil can persuade man. So the devil said to woman, to Eve, that this is the only fruit worth eating. And that's why God has prohibited it. If you eat this fruit, you will be like gods. And he is jealous. He is afraid of you. If you eat this fruit, you will be like gods. You will be a god yourself. Eve couldn't resist. The temptation was too much. She persuaded Adam. Adam tried to say it is not good because God has prohibited. But when there is a problem to choose between your wife and God, you will choose your wife. There is no real alternative. Because she will create such trouble. In 24 hours trouble, God cannot create so much trouble. So finally, Adam had to eat. And the moment he ate the fruit, he became conscious of the ego. He became aware that I am. Immediately he was turned out of the Garden of Eden. The beautiful story. The story is really a key to all the secrets. This knowledge has turned you out of the miraculous world that you are. Before this, Adam was like a child, naked, but not aware that he is naked. Naked, but not aware that there is some guilt in it. He loved Eve, but the love was natural. Never aware that something wrong is going on. There is some sin. There was no sin. Before knowledge, there is no sin. A child cannot commit sin. Only an old man can be a sinner. So all sinners are old. A child cannot be a sinner. How can he be a sinner? A child is innocent because a child is not aware of himself that he is. Adam was like a child. Eve was like a child. They enjoyed, but there was no one who was enjoying. They were part of this mystery of the miracle. When they felt hungry, they ate. When they felt sleepy, they slept. When they felt like loving, they loved. But everything was a natural phenomenon. The mind was not there as the manipulator. They were part of this universe, flowing like rivers, flowering like trees, singing like birds. They were not separate. Separation came with the knowledge that I am. The first thing Adam and Eve did, they tried to hide their nakedness. The child who is lost. Whenever a child begins to feel that he is naked, this is the point where Adam and Eve are turned out of the Garden of Eden. This has been always my feeling, that the answer to the Christian story exists in Mahavir, not in Jesus, but in Mahavir. Because if by eating the fruit of knowledge, Adam became aware and felt guilty that he is naked, then the answer exists in Mahavir. The moment he became silent, the first thing he did, he became naked. And I say, Mahavir entered the Garden of Eden again. He became a child again. The Christian story is half. The Jain story is the other half. They make the whole. The whole existence is a miracle. You have fallen out of it. Bhakti says, we know only one miracle. We have entered in this great miracle again. We are no more separate as egos. We are not individuals. Hunger is there, but there is no one who is hungry. Sleep comes, but there is no one who is sleepy. The ego is not there to resist or to decide. We flow, we drift. Nothing is wrong and nothing is good. This is the beyondness, the transcendental attitude, where no evil exists and no good. You have become innocent. Your saints cannot be innocents, because their goodness is too much forced. Their goodness is already ugly. Their goodness is managed, controlled, cultivated. It is not innocent. I have heard about one old woman. She served a Buddhist monk for 30 years. Did everything for that monk. She was just like a mother and a disciple both. And the Buddhist monk meditated and meditated and meditated. The day the old woman was going to die, she called a prostitute from the town and said that go to that monk's hut, enter into the hut, go near, embrace the monk, and how he reacts, just come and tell me, because this night I am going to die. And I want to be certain whether I was serving a man who is innocent. I am not certain. The prostitute became afraid. She said, he is such a good man, so saintly. We have never seen such a saintly man. Even the prostitute felt to be guilty to go there and test this man. But the old woman bribed her. She went. She opened the door. The monk was meditating. It was midnight. In that isolated part, nobody was there near. The monk opened the eye, he looked at the prostitute, he jumped on his feet and he said, why you are coming in? Get out! His whole body trembled. The prostitute went nearer. The monk jumped out of the hut, crying that this woman is trying to seduce me. The prostitute returned. She told the whole thing. The old woman sent her servants to burn the hut of the monk. She said, this man is of no use. He has not become innocent yet. He may be a saint, but his saintliness is ugly. It is manipulated. Why he should see a prostitute so suddenly? A woman was entering, not a prostitute. Why he should think that she has come to seduce him? He should have been at least gentlemanly. He should have told, come, sit. Why you have come? He must have at least shown a little compassion. And even if she embraced him, why he should be afraid? Because he has been telling me for 30 years that I am not the body. If he is not the body, then why he should be so much afraid of the body? No, his saintliness is cultivated. It is a pose. It is not from the inner, it is from the outer. He has managed it all right, but inside he is not innocent. It is not childlike. And unless saintliness becomes childlike, it is not saintliness at all. It is just a sinner hiding through a facet. Bhakti said that we know only one miracle. What is that miracle? To be childlike. A child, whenever he feels hungry, he starts crying. He is hungry. Whenever he feels sleepy, he goes to sleep. We try to manage even a child. We did try. In the West now, there are books, guide for mothers. And what type of world is going to be there when a guide is needed even for a mother? Guidelines that after 3 hours give the milk, never before. Each 3 hours give them. The child is crying, but that is not the point. The child is hungry, but that is not the point. Because the guidebook says after 3 hours, the mother is waiting. When the 3 hours are complete, she will feed the child. Even motherhood is not enough, a guide is needed. And child's authentic cry is not to be trusted. as if child may be trying to deceive. But why the child should deceive? If he is hungry, he is crying. But we are trying to destroy the childhood. Sooner or later he will follow us. He will also look at the clock, and when the three of us are complete, he will give a cry that I am hungry. This hungerness will be false. And when hunger goes false, everything goes false. We go on forcing children to go to sleep when we think it is time. But sleep is not to be manipulated by time. Sleep is something inner. When the child will feel sleepy, he will go to sleep. But mothers and fathers go and force him. The child go to sleep as if sleep can be ordered. Children must think you foolish. They think that something has gone wrong in your mind. How a child can force sleep? He can pretend. So when you are there, he can close the eyes. And when you have gone, he can open the eyes, because sleep cannot be forced. Nobody, even you, cannot force the sleep. If you don't feel sleepy, how can you go to sleep? But this is how society destroys. That's how the devil persuades. That's how we bring every child from the Garden of Eden. Remember, not only Adam and Eve were born in the garden, every child is born there, because that is the birthplace. And then society brings out. So society is the devil. The society pursues, do this, do that, and bring the child out, make him an ego, and make him a manipulator. And the only miracle that is possible is to enter this Garden of Eden again, to become childlike, to allow nature its flow. Don't block it. Don't stand in the way. Don't push it. Just flow with it. You are nature. You are Tao. You are part of the continuous mystery that is happening. Bhakti is right. Difficult for us, because we have become so much addicted to the mind and its manipulation. And even if I say to you, be natural, you will try to be natural and you will miss. Because how one can try to be natural? If I say, don't do anything, you try not to do anything. If I say, be inactive, then you make every effort to be inactive, but the effort is the activity. So this has to be understood. No effort is needed. Any effort on your part and you will miss the miracle. Then what is to be done? Nothing is to be done. A simple feeling, allow the nature. In the beginning it will be difficult, because you have been always jumping in the way, always interfering. In the beginning it will be difficult, but just 3 weeks, allow the nature. When you feel hungry, eat. When you feel sleepy, go to sleep. When you don't feel hungry, don't eat. It is not a fast, remember, because fast is from the mind. You are feeling hungry, but you are on fast. There is no harm if you don't feel sleep. There is no harm, because the body doesn't need. So don't force. Stay awake. Enjoy. Go for a walk. Have a little dance in the room. Or sing. Or meditate. But don't force sleep. When you feel sleepy, when the eyes say, now, go to sleep. And don't force yourself in the morning to come out of the bed. Allow your inner being, give it a chance. It will give you the indication, the eyes will open by themselves. For a few days there will be difficulty, but within 3 weeks, and I say within 3 weeks if you don't interfere, if you interfere, then 3 lives are not enough. Don't interfere and just wait things to happen and allow them. Within 3 weeks you will fall into nature again. Suddenly you will see that you have been existing in the Garden of Eden, and Adam has never been expelled, he thinks only. That is what the knowledge of fruit means. You simply think that you have been expelled. Where you can be expelled? The whole nature is the Garden of Eden. Where you can be expelled? The whole house is God's, so where you can be expelled? Bhakti says, I have entered again the garden. Bhakti was going to die. Disciples were very much worried and they asked what we should do. What we should do with your body? Should we preserve it? Should we burn it as Hindus do? Buddhists do? Or should we bury it in the ground as Mohammedans and Christians do? Because disciples said, we don't know who you are, a Hindu, a Buddhist, a Mohammedan. You have confused us so much. We don't know who you are. So what we should do? Bhakti said, wait, let me die first. Why you are in such a hurry? The mind always jumps ahead. Why you are in such a hurry and you call yourself my disciples? Let me die. And do whatsoever you like, because Bhakti will not be there. Whether you bury, whether you burn, or whether you preserve, it makes no difference to Bhakti. Bhakti will not be there. But let me die first. Then do whatsoever you like. It makes no difference. But don't jump ahead. Mind has a tendency to jump ahead. Always jump ahead. One minister invited his congregants for a garden party. He forgot a little old lady. Just at the 11th hour he remembered. So he phoned, because that lady was dangerous. Very religious, and very religious people are always dangerous. Afraid that she may create trouble or mischief. And she is one of the oldest members of his congregation and contributes to the church and everything. She will create trouble. So he phoned and told the old lady, come, just by mistake, I forgot. But forgive me, and you must come. The old lady said, it is too late now. I have already prayed for rain. Garden party was going to be there, and she was not invited. She has already prayed for rain. So it is too late. See, it is no use. Now nothing can be done. Mind goes on jumping ahead. That is the way of the mind. Make jumps less and less. Or, if it is very difficult for you, then allow the mind a jogging, but don't jump ahead. Jogging is meditation. It is a jogging. You are jumping on the same ground. Mind is accustomed to jump ahead. It may be difficult to stop it completely, so half-half. You don't jump ahead, you jump on the ground, jog. Half is cut. Then by and by slow down. Then stand. Then sit down. When you are here and now sitting totally, not jumping ahead, the miracle has happened. To be in the moment is the miracle. But I know Bankei will not appeal you. Sai Baba can appeal you. Because with Sai Baba, your mind has a logic, a tuning. With Bankei, your mind cannot be tuned. It has to be dropped. Only then the tuning can happen. With Sai Baba, you can understand things. The logic is the same. What your mind says is miracle is happening. This is not religion at all. This is simply magic. And there is no difference between a Houdini and a Sai Baba. The only difference, if there is, Houdini is more honest than Sai Baba, because he simply says that I am a magician. These are tricks. And all that Sai Baba can do, any magician can do. But you will not pay much respect to a magician. Because he is so sincere and honest that he says these are tricks. So you say, okay, so these are tricks, so no miracle. When somebody says that these are not tricks, this is a miracle, divine power manifesting through me. Then your mind starts jumping. Then you think, if I can become a close disciple of this man, then I also can become somebody. I can also do something. If you have come in search of such a miracle, to me you have come to the wrong person. I am Bankei reborn. I am only one miracle, to be here and now. When feeling hungry, eat. When feeling sleepy, sleep. Just to be ordinary and just to be part of the cosmos. If you are in search of such a miracle, then much can happen near me. But if you are not in such a search, then nothing will happen near me. And remember, you will be responsible for it. Because your whole search is wrong, then there can be no tuning with me. So decide clearly in your mind. Come to an understanding. What type of miracle you are searching? I can make you most ordinary. I can make you simple human beings. I can make you like trees and birds. There is no magic around here, only religion. But if you can see, this is the greatest miracle. Anything more still?
Bhagwan, you were just talking about food, and in the West now a big cult is one of the things that are coming in as a basis of spirituality. You've said that if we're natural, then we'll know what to eat and when to eat, but we are out of touch with that child in us now. Also, many religions say that the food you eat does make a difference to the spiritual path and the spiritual level you get to. Is there anything you can tell us about food and a guide for the West?
Just the other way around. Food cannot make you spiritual. But if you are spiritual, your food habits will change. Eating anything will not make much difference. You can be a vegetarian and cruel to the extreme and violent. You can be a non-vegetarian and kind and loving. Food will not make much difference. In India, there are communities who have lived totally with vegetarian food. Jains have lived totally with vegetarian food. Many Brahmins have lived totally with vegetarian food. But they are not non-violent. Jains are the most materialistic community in India. Most addicted with possessions, accumulation. That's why they have become the wealthiest. They are the Jews in India. A non-vegetarian world in the West is not in any way different from these vegetarian communities in India. Rather, on the contrary, a very important thing has to be remembered. If you are violent and your food is vegetarian, then your violence will have to find some other ways of expressing. It is natural, because eating a non-vegetarian food gives release to your violence. So if you know some hunters, you may have come to realize that hunters are the most loving people. Their whole violence is released in hunting. They are most friendly, loving. But a businessman, vegetarian, no way for his violence to be released. So his whole violence becomes a search for wealth and power. It becomes narrowed down. But the other way round, it happens. It happened to a Mahavir. Mahavir came from a warrior family, a Kshatriya. Violence must have been easy for him. And then a deep meditative effort, a 12 years long silence, changed his inner essence. When the essence changed, the expression changed. When the innermost being changed, his character changed. But that character change was not basic. It is a consequence. So I say to you, if you become more meditative, you will become more and more vegetarian automatically. You need not bother about it. And only if this happens, that through meditation, vegetarian food comes into, not through mind manipulation. It is good. But manipulating by the mind, argument, reason that vegetarian food is good, it will help to spirituality. It is not going to help anything. Your clothes, your food, your habits of life, your style, everything will change. But this change is not basic. The basic change is going to be in you. And then everything else follows. If you meditate long enough, deep enough, it is impossible for you to hurt anybody for food. It is impossible. It is not a question of argument. It is not a question of scriptures. It is not who says what. It is not a question of calculation that if you take vegetarian food, then you will become spiritual. This is arithmetic. It is not a question of cunningness. You simply become. The whole thing seems so absurd just for food killing animals, birds. Seems so absurd, it falls down. Your clothes change automatically. By and by you will like more and more loose clothes. The more you are relaxed inside, loose clothes, automatically I say, there will be no decision on your part. By and by you will feel, if you use tight clothes, you will feel uneasy. Because tight clothes belong to a tense mind. Loose clothes belong to a relaxed mind. But the inner change is the first thing. And everything else is just a consequence. If you reverse the order, you will miss. Then you will become a food addict. There are people now. One man came to me. He said, he was just lean and thin and pale, and any moment he can die. And he said, I want to live only on water. Why? Because he said, everything else is a hindrance to spirituality. I want to live on pure water. This man is going to die. There have been few people who have lived on pure water. But that happened to them naturally. It cannot be practiced. They were freaks. Accidents. Their body mechanism and chemistry work differently. It has happened. Somebody can survive on water, but nobody can practice it. Somebody can survive only on air, but nobody can practice it. Someday science may be able to find the basic chemical change, and then everybody can. Then science can change your body chemistry and you can survive just on air. It is possible, but you cannot practice it. And the whole effort is meaningless, and the whole suffering unnecessary. But there are mad people who try things like that. It has never happened by effort. There was one woman in Bengal, she lived 40 years without food. But it simply happened. Her husband died. And she couldn't eat for a few days, just in misery, in sorrow, she couldn't eat. But suddenly she realized that without eating she is feeling better than ever. Then she realized that in the past, whenever she was eating, she was always ill. And suddenly she became healthy, as she never was. Then she lived for 40 years without eating anything. Just the air was the food. And this has happened in many cases. There was one woman in Europe, for 30 years she lived. She became a saint because Christians thought it a miracle. And they examined her with every scientific instrument, what is happening. They couldn't find anything, what is happening. Then it seems miracle. It is not a miracle. Yoga says there is a possibility of a body change, of a body chemistry change. Right now, you are doing the same, just via media. You cannot eat sun rays directly, because your body chemistry is not in such a state. The mechanism is not such, it cannot absorb sun rays directly. So first, the fruit of the tree absorbs the sun rays. It becomes D vitamin in the fruit. Then you eat the fruit, then the D vitamin goes into your body. The fruit is just a via media. The fruit is working just as your agent to absorb the sun rays and then give it to you. You can absorb it through the fruit, not directly. But if the fruit can absorb directly, why not you? So someday there is going to be a scientific discovery that some body changes will help you to absorb directly, then fruit will not be needed. In future, and I think not very long, within 50 years, science is bound to discover, it has to be discovered, otherwise humanity is going to die, because food will not be possible. And birth control is not helping, nothing is helping. Population goes on growing. Some way has to be found so food can be dropped and direct absorption of cosmic rays becomes possible. It has happened in individual cases. It was by accident. If it can happen to one individual, it can happen to every individual, but not as an accident, it will happen as a scientific change. But don't try such things. They are not spiritual. Even if you eat directly sun rays, there is nothing spiritual. What is spiritual? Just dropping the via media fruit, you become spiritual. If you live only on water, nothing is spiritual. What you eat makes no difference. What you are, that's a totally different phenomenon. And when that changes, everything will change, but that change will not be from the mind. It will be from the innermost being. Then things will change automatically. Sex will disappear by and by. So I don't say be a brahmachari, be a celibate. That is foolish. Because if you start to be towards being a celibate, you will become more and more sexual in the mind. And your whole mind will become ugly and dirty. You will think only of sex and nothing else. That is not the way. You will go crazy and insane. Freud says that 90% of madmen are mad because of repressed sexuality. I don't say change sex, I don't say change food. I say change your being. And then things will start changing. Why so much sex is needed? Because you are tense. And sex becomes a release. your tensions are released through it. You feel relaxed. You can go to sleep. If you repress it, you remain tense and you repress sex, the only release, the only possibility of release. What will happen? You will go mad. Where you will release your tensions then? You eat food. It is needed by the body. And body rejects only things which are not needed. Whatsoever you are eating, somehow it is needed by the body. If you are taking animal food, if you are taking non-vegetarian food, your mind, your body, your whole being is violent and it is needed. Don't change it, otherwise your violence will have to find another channel. Change yourself. Food will change. Clothes will change. Sex will change. But change should come from the innermost core. It should not be forced from the periphery. And all turmoil is on the periphery. Deep down there is no turmoil. You are just like the sea. Go and watch the sea. All turmoil, all waves clashing is just on the surface. Deeper you go, more and more calm. Deepest in the sea, there is no turmoil, not a single wave. First, go deeper into your sea. So you achieve a calm crystallization. You achieve at the point where no disturbance ever reaches. Stand there. From there every change comes. Every transformation comes. Once you are there, you have become a master. Now whatsoever is unnecessary can be dropped and can be dropped without any struggle and fight. Because whenever you drop something by a fight, it is never dropped. You can drop smoking by fighting. Then you will start doing something else which will become a substitute. You may start chewing gum. It is the same. You may start chewing pan. It is the same. There is no difference. You needed something to do with your mouth. Smoking, chewing, anything. When your mouth goes on working, you feel at ease because through mouth, tensions are released. So whenever a man feels tense, he starts smoking. Why through smoking or chewing gum or tobacco, tensions are released? Just see a small child. Whenever he feels tense, he will take his hand in the mouth. He will start chewing his own hand. This is his substitute for his smoking. And why he feels good? When the thumb is in the mouth, why the child feels good and goes to sleep? This is the strategy almost of all the children. Whenever they feel their sleep is not coming, they will take the thumb inside the mouth and they will feel at ease and fall asleep. Why? Because the thumb becomes a substitute for the mother's breast. Food is relaxing. You cannot go to sleep on a hungry stomach. It is difficult to get sleep. When the stomach is full, you feel sleepy. The body needs rest. So whenever the child takes the breast in his mouth, food is flowing, the warmth, the love, he is relaxed. He need not worry. Tensions are relaxed. thumb is just a substitute for breast. It is not giving milk. It is a false thing, but still it gives the feeling. When this child will grow, if he takes the thumb in public, you will think him foolish. So he takes the cigarette. Cigarette is not foolish. It is accepted. It is just the thumb and more harmful than the thumb. It is better you smoke your thumb. Go on smoking to your grave. It is not harmful, it is better. No harm is done. But then people think you are childish, juvenile. People think you are stupid. What you are doing? But there is a need. So it has to be substituted. And in the countries where breastfeeding has stopped, more smoking will be automatically there. That's why West smokes more than the East. Because no mother is ready to give the breast to the child. Because the shape is lost. So in the West, smoking is more and more increasing. Even small children smoking. I have heard one mother was saying to his child, to her child, that I don't want neighbors to tell me that you have started smoking. Be truthful, and whenever you start smoking, tell me. The child said, don't bother, mom. I have already stopped. It is 1 year now. I have stopped smoking. It is 1 year now. You don't bother. You don't get worried about it. Small children smoking. And the mother is not aware because the breast has been taken away. In old primitive communities, a 7 year child or even 8, 9 year child will continue. Then there is a satisfaction. Smoking will not be so necessary. And that's why in primitive communities, men are not so much interested in women's breasts. They have had enough, no need. So women go on without covering their breasts. There is no problem that somebody will attack them. Nobody looks at the breasts. If you had been given breast for 10 years continuously, you will get fed up and bored. You will say, stop now. But every child has been taken away from the breast prematurely. That remains a wound. So all civilized countries are obsessed with breasts. Even old men dying is obsessed with the breast. Goes on searching breasts. This seems mad. This is. But the basic cause is there. Children should be given breasts, otherwise they will become addicted to it. The whole life they will be in search. You cannot stop smoking directly because it has many related things, implications. You are tense. If you stop smoking, you will start something else, and the other may be more harmful. Don't go on escaping problems. Face them. The problem is you are tense. So how to be non-tense should be the goal. Not smoking or not smoking. Meditate. Relax your tensions without any object into the sky. Allow catharsis to happen. When you are non-tense, these things will become absurd, foolish. They will drop. Food will change. Styles of your living will change. But my insistence is on you. Character is secondary. Behavior is secondary. The essential you is the primary thing. And don't pay too much attention what you do. Pay much attention what you are. Being should become the focus, and doing should be left to itself. When being changes, doing follows. Anything more?
Bhagavan, whenever you mention our unsins, you usually mention anger, sex and jealousy. Anger and sex seem a fairly straightforward thing, but jealousy, there's always confusion around it, exactly what it is, and it's harder to get to the core. Could you tell us about jealousy?
Yes, I make more mention of anger, sex, and less of jealousy. Because jealousy is not a primary thing, it is secondary. It is a secondary part of sex. Whenever you have a sexual urge in your mind, a sexual happening in your being, whenever you feel sexually attracted and related to somebody, jealousy enters. Because you are not in love. If you are in love, jealousy never enters. Try to understand the whole thing. Whenever you are sexually related, you are afraid. Because sex is really not a relationship, it is an exploitation. If you are attached to a woman or man sexually, you are always afraid that this woman may go to somebody else, this man may move to somebody else, because there is no relationship really. It is just exploitation, mutual. You are exploiting each other, but you don't love. And you know it, so you are afraid. This fear becomes jealousy. So you will not allow, you will guard. You will make every security arrangement so this man cannot look at another woman. Even looking will be a danger signal. This man should not talk to another woman, because talking, and you feel afraid, he may move. So you will close all the paths, all the ways of this man going to another woman. This woman going to another man, you will close all the ways, all the doors, but then a problem arises. When all the doors are closed, the man becomes dead. The woman becomes dead, a prisoner, a slave. And you cannot love a dead being. You cannot love one who is not free. Because love is beautiful only when it is given freely. It is not taken and demanded and forced. First you make security arrangements, then the person becomes dead, becomes like an object. A beloved may be a person, a wife becomes an object. A beloved may be a person, a husband becomes an object. To be guarded, possessed, controlled. But the more you control, the more you are killing. Because the freedom is lost. And the other person may be there for other reasons, but not for love. Because how can you love a person who possesses you? He looks like an enemy. Sex creates jealousy. But a secondary thing. So it is not a question how to drop jealousy. You cannot drop. because you cannot drop sex. So the question is how to transform sex into love. Then jealousy disappears. If you love a person, the very love is enough guarantee. The very love is enough security. If you love a person, you know he cannot go to anybody else. And if he goes, he goes. Nothing can be done. What can you do? You can kill the person, but a dead person will not be of much use. When you love a person, you trust that he cannot go to anybody. If he goes, there is no love and nothing can be done. Love brings this understanding. There is no jealousy. So if jealousy is there, no will, there is no love. You are playing a game. You are hiding sex behind love. Love is just a painted word. The reality is sex. In India, because love is not much allowed, not allowed at all, marriage is arranged. Tremendous jealousy exists because a husband is always afraid. He has never loved, so he knows. The wife is always afraid because she never loved, so she knows. This has been an arrangement. The parents arranged, the astrologers arranged, the society arranged. The wife and husband were never asked. In many cases, they never knew each other. They never had seen each other. So fear exists. So wife is afraid, husband is afraid, and both are spying each other. The very possibility is lost. How can love grow in fear? They can live together. That living together is also not living together. They only tolerate together. They somehow carry on together. It is just utilitarian. And out of utility, you may manage. But ecstasy is not possible. You cannot celebrate it. It cannot become festive. It will be a burdensome affair. So a husband is dead before death, wife is dead before death, two dead persons revenging with each other because each thinks that the other has killed. Taking revenge, angry, jealous. The whole thing has become so ugly. But in the West, a different type of phenomenon is happening, which is the same on the other extreme. They have dropped arranged marriage. It is good. That institution is not worth keeping. But by dropping it, love has not arisen, only sex has become free. When sex is free, you are always afraid. Because it is always a temporary arrangement. With this girl you are tonight, tomorrow she will be with somebody else. And yesterday she was with somebody else. Yesterday a girl was with somebody else, tomorrow she will be again with somebody else. Only tonight she is with you. How can this be very intimate and deep? It can only be a meeting of the surfaces. You cannot penetrate each other because penetration needs seasoning. It needs time. It needs depth. Intimacy, living together, being together. A long time is needed, then depth opens. Depths talking to each other. This is just acquaintance. It may not be even acquaintance. In the West, you can meet a woman on the train and make love. And in the midnight, you drop at some station. She never bothers. She may never know you again. She may not even have asked your name. If sex becomes such a tribal thing, just a bodily affair, surfaces meet and separate, your depth remains untouched, you are again missing something, something great, something very mysterious. Because your own depth you become aware only when somebody else touches it. Only through the other you become aware of your inner being. Only in deep relationship somebody's love resounds in you and brings your depth into being. Only through somebody else you discover yourself. There are two ways of discovery. One is meditation. Without the other you search for the depth. Another is love. With the other you search for the depth. He becomes a route to reach to yourself. The other creates a circle. And both lovers help each other. The deeper love goes, the deeper they feel they are. Their being someday is revealed. But then there is no jealousy. Love cannot be jealous. It is impossible. It is always trusting. And if something happens that breaks your trust, you have to accept it. Nothing can be done about it, because what will destroy the other? Trust cannot be forced. Jealousy tries it to force. Jealousy tries you, makes every effort so that trust can be maintained. But trust is not something to be maintained. It is there or it is not there. And I say again, nothing can be done about it. If it is there, you go through it. If it is not there, better separate. But don't fight for it, because you are wasting time, life. If you love someone and the depth speaks to the other's depth, you have a meeting in being, it is okay. Beautiful. If it is not happening, separate. But don't create any conflict, struggle, fight for it, because it cannot be achieved through a fight, and the time is lost. And not only time, your capacity will be damaged. With another person you may start again repeating the old pattern. So if there is no trust, separate sooner the better. So you are not destroyed, you are not damaged. Your capacity to love remains fresh, and you can love somebody else. This is not the place, this is not the man, this is not the woman for you. Move. But don't destroy each other. And life is very sad. And capacities are very delicate. They can be destroyed. And once damaged, there is no possibility of repairing them. I have heard, once it happened, Winston Churchill was invited to speak in a small club of friends. Everybody knew that Churchill was a drunkard and loved alcohol very much. The man who introduced, the president of the club, he said, "Sir Winston has drunk up to now so much wine that if we pour all the wine in this hall, the level will come up to my head." It was a big hall. And he was just joking. Winston Churchill stood, he looked at the imaginary line. Then he looked at the ceiling. The ceiling was high. Then he became very sad and he said, "So much is still to be done and so little time left to do it." As far as love is concerned, so much is to be done for everyone and so little time left to do it. Don't waste your energy in fighting, jealousy, conflict. Move, and move in a friendly way. Search somewhere else the person exists who will love you. Don't get fixed with someone who is wrong, not for you. But don't be angry, there is no point in it. And don't try to force trust, nobody can force it, never it happens. You will miss the time, you will miss the energy, and you may become aware when nothing can be done. Move. Either trust or move. Love always trusts, or if it finds that the trust is not possible, it simply moves in a friendly way. There is no conflict, no fight. Sex creates jealousy. Find, discover love. Don't make sex the basic thing it is not. India missed with arranged marriage. West is missing with free love. India missed love because parents were too much calculating and cunning. They will not allow falling in love. That is dangerous. Nobody knows where it will lead. They were too clever. Through cleverness, India missed all possibility of love. In the West, they are too rebellious, too young. Not clever, too young, too childish. They have made sex a free thing, available everywhere. No need to go so deep to discover love. Enjoy sex and be finished. Through sex, West is missing. Through marriage, East has missed. But if you are alert, you need not be Eastern, you need not be Western. Love is neither Eastern nor Western. Go on discovering love within you. And if you love, sooner or later the person will happen to you. Because a loving heart, sooner or later, comes to a loving heart. It always happens. You will find the right person. But if you are jealous, you will not find. If you are simply for sex, you will not find. If you live only for security, you will not find. Love is a dangerous path. And only those who have courage can travel it. And I say to you, it is the same, just like meditation, only for those who are courageous. And there are only two ways to reach the divine, either meditation or love. Find out which is your way, which can be your destiny. Enough for today.